Hello and welcome to the All Time Conspiracies podcast, the Christmas special full of festive cheer and the spirit of the season. With me, Robin, today are Martin.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Robin.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Martin. And Alex.
Hello there, Robin. Merry Christmas to you. Happy to be here, as always.
As always. Those of you watching us on YouTube will notice that we are dressed for the occasion. I'm not wearing the most Christmassy jumper in the world. But, you know, it's a Christmas jumper I can wear all year round. It's a nice plain blue.
I'm wearing a festive number.
Very festive.
Although you could probably get away with wearing it in the autumn or January as well, because it's not, not overtly Christmassy, but you know, it has some evergreen trees on it.
So. Yeah, the evergreen trees mean it can be worn all year round. Yeah.
That's it. It is truly evergreen.
Very witty. Alex is definitely the most Christmassy of us now. He's wearing a nice Santa hat.
And I've got my most Christmassy coloured shirt on. But I felt like I had to supplement it with a
very pleasing burgundy, isn't it?
Oh, thank you. I felt like I had to supplement it, though, with a nice Christmas hat.
If without the Christmas hat, people would just think it's March.
Yeah.
Specifically
March. Yeah. Well, this is the All Time Conspiracies podcast, where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. And this week, I think most things we'll be looking at will have a kind of Christmas theme. So Martin and Alex will be regaling us with news items that are still current.
Mine's not that Christmassy, I've got
to
be
honest.
Yeah,
mine's not Christmassy at all.
Well, I lied there then.
You
let me down.
But yours is Christmassy, right?
Mine's very Christmassy. I'll be looking at, a little story. Since it's Christmas, I thought we'd have a kind of story.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay, I like it.
Yeah. And of course, at the end of the episode, we'll be concluding with our quiz, which will have a very Christmassy theme, I believe.
Can I confirm.
Uh-huh.
This week, I will be doing a Christmas-themed quiz. Well, it's Christmas and it's also, because it would be like the end of the year as well, so it's kind of about past events of 2018, so it's kind of that mixed with Christmas.
Oh, I like that. Kind of review of the year.
Like a big fat quiz of the year kind of thing.
I like it. Yeah. It sounds depressing, but I like it.
Well, shall we leap into my story?
Let's do it.
How very self-indulgent.
Well, please do indulge me and allow me to tell you the story of Le Père Fouettard. Have you heard of Le Père Fouettard?
I feel like I should have.
No, but, it's fine.
Sounds a little bit French.
You'd be right. You'd be right. So, close your eyes and imagine you are in the year 1150.
Actually, if you're listening to this driving, do not close your eyes.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yep.
But those of you who won't make us legally liable for something, close your eyes. It's the year 1150. It's early December. Three boys, the sons of wealthy nobles, are journeying through northern France to enroll in a religious boarding school. It's a long journey, and on their way they stop at an inn, as you would when you're tired. The innkeeper welcomes them. He offers them food and rooms for the night. As innkeepers are wont to do, he chats to them in a friendly way, and while he talks to them, he learns where they're going, and from this and the appearance of their very nice, fine clothing, he gathers that they're rich. These guys, these three boys, must have money. And in those times, money was no good unless you carried it with you. They'd have gold in their purses. So the innkeeper goes aside and talks to his wife, and they plot to rob the boys. But people are easier to rob if they're dead.
True.
So they catch the boys. They catch the boys unawares, slit their throats,
chop
their bodies up into tiny pieces, and salt or stew the meat in a barrel.
Merry Christmas.
Oh my God.
Merry Christmas. And presumably he intended to feed the remains to other travellers who stopped at the inn, because who should knock at the door but old Saint Nick himself?
Okay.
On his annual way around the country to reward the good children who say their prayers and do their duties. Now the innkeeper tries to win Saint Nicholas's favour by offering him the best meat he has in the house.
Oh dear.
But
grisly.
This is Saint Nick. He knows the truth.
I know children. And those children
are children. You've just fed me a child, haven't you?
I sent children.
Oh dear.
Yep, Saint Nick rumbles him, and instead of eating the disassembled flesh of the three boys, he summons his miraculous powers and resurrects all three boys.
Oh.
And he sends them on their way, happy as Larry. Now, the innkeeper is, understandably, astonished by this, and he's mightily humbled. He repents, and as punishment for his crimes, he becomes St. Nicholas's partner. throughout eternity.
Mrs. Claus.
that kind of pun.
Hang on, that doesn't sound like a fair punishment. This guy chopped up and killed three kids.
Now he becomes Sinicus's partner.
That is not going to cut it, is it? Oh, I'm really sorry.
Well, wait.
You can work with me then.
It is an intriguing outcome, because now, every year, on the feast of St. Nicholas, which is the 6th of December, Le Père Fouettard ventures abroad in northern France and Wallonia in southern Belgium. And you can recognize him by his dark, sinister face, his disheveled black robes, and his scraggly red beard and hair. And the martinet, or scourge, that he wields in his hand to whip naughty children. Whence his name, Le Père Fouettard, which means Father Whipper, or Old Man Whipper.
Old man whipper.
Not that kind of, more like a young child whipper.
I'm not going to lie, this is taking me out of the festive mood a little bit.
Well, this is what's interesting about it, because of course it's interesting to compare him to other companions of St. Nicholas that you have throughout Europe and consequently other parts of the world. Because along with Santa Claus, you've got Black Peter in the Netherlands.
Pretty controversial.
Ruprecht in Germany, this is true. And of course, Krampus in lots of Central Europe, and now very popular in America. Along with many others, they're all variations on a theme, aren't they? Which is this surprisingly dark, kind of punishing, very twisted version of St. Nicholas himself. But personally, I think none of them are quite as dark as Le Père Fouettard. That's a pretty gruesome story.
Yes, and not so well known either.
No, that's the thing that's very interesting, is that we have such a specific and gruesome origin story for him, which we don't have for most of the others, and a very fixed location in northern France and southern Belgium. And I think that makes him very different and very interesting. I mean, there are variances in the stories around him. In some versions of the tale, he's not an innkeeper, he's a butcher, which actually kind of makes a bit more sense.
Yeah,
given what he does. And some depictions of him, he wears a wicker basket on his back to capture children and carry them away. And other times he's just carrying a large bundle of sticks. And I raise this issue because anyone who's looked at Krampus or watched our video on Krampus that we made last year will know that Krampus often has a wicker basket or a bundle of sticks. So clearly there's some kind of influence going on there. And there is, in fact, another origin for him entirely. I mean, this one sounds more like a historian's attempt to explain it, but it's historians from several centuries ago. So it's still quite an old story, so that some people think it's an alternative origin story for Le Père Fouettard, but I think it's more like a kind of medieval historian's attempt to explain it. Or rather, early modern historians attempt to explain it.
Kids didn't really get resurrected, did they?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Now, there's another story, which is that during the siege of Metz, which is in eastern France, in 1552, an effigy of King Charles V was burned and dragged through the city. And meanwhile, an association or a guild of tanners, you know, people who tan leather, created a kind of grotesque effigy, armed with a whip and bound in chains, who punished children. And after the siege of Metz was over and the city was liberated, the burnt effigy of Charles V and this other effigy of the tanner somehow kind of got combined into Le Père Fouettard, which explains why he might have this dark, kind of straggly appearance, because he's made of straw and hair and he's been burned on a fire. So his skin is black, which is part of the thing. Which is why, as you mentioned earlier, he's often associated with Black Peter, or compared to Black Peter in the Netherlands, because Black Peter is actually black. He's got black skin and curly black hair and big red lips, and has caused a lot of controversy because of his obviously racial undertones. Even though the Netherlands government, I think, on several occasions has said, he's not black, he's just sooty.
Oh, come on. I mean, I think that's possibly worse, isn't it?
I don't think that makes it better.
I think, in fairness to the government, I think that's a reaction to, they said, right, you've got to stop making him black. Make him any color but black. So they started doing orange and green and yellow face paint. And then the citizens of the Netherlands were like, no, it's not Black Peter if he's not black. So,
well, you can't really call him that, can you?
Admittedly, it's a bit
green. But, Peter. I mean,
in Switzerland, they have the same feather. I think they call him like Schwarz Piet or something. And there's more of a connotation that he's like dark in spirit. you know, like he's a mean guy.
Sure.
A bit of a trickster. But yeah, I just wondered what you thought of Le Père Fouettard.
I find it interesting and kind of predictable that this like part of Christmas tradition, I guess, hasn't really lived on into the 21st century. like Krampus and Black Peter and this guy. This is the kind of the first that I'm hearing of it, really, or like I didn't really know a huge amount about it before this. And having learned a lot about it now, I think I can see why, because it's terrifying. What's the intention behind it? Is it to
scare kids good throughout the year, isn't it?
That's
the idea. And
otherwise you'll be chopped up and eaten in a stew.
That's it. I mean, that's the thing, is it's very different levels of severity, isn't there, between the between Santa's associates, let's just say. But this, I mean, that's really, really scary. Is it making a comeback with the, I know that especially in the UK, Halloween's becoming ever more of a thing, and also darker as well, like people are dressing up as ever scarier creatures. I mean, will this make a comeback in terms of, not necessarily to scare kids, but just in popular culture? It'd be interesting to see whether in the UK and maybe the US especially, these kind of dark tales will take on more of a prevalence.
In the light of Krampus becoming so huge now, in America especially, I mean, it suggests it will come back. And I guess it's that weird fascination modern culture has, modern Western culture at least, with the darker side of life. And part of me sometimes wonders if that's because, you know, first world problems, we have such a good quality of life overall that we're drawn to darker things or darker interpretations of what are otherwise very light and cheerful festivals.
Santa's boring now. He's too good.
Exactly. He's too good. I want to look at the mean side.
I want a complex character, you know,
I want a character story arc.
Yeah, I want a story arc.
It'll happen.
A misunderstood Krampus is my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when a lot of these, if you look throughout history as well, especially in the kind of even the Victorian era, a lot of it was about making these kind of grotesque Christmas cards, and even on Valentine's Day, what they called vinegar cards, when they sent to your proposed lover, and they were basically grotesque cards saying that basically taking the mick out of whoever you're sending them to. So there's always been this kind of the flip
like
side, like the flip side to anything that's meant to be kind of nice and warm and a lovely time of year or a nice gesture, and you have to flip it and turn it into something dark, which I kind of like.
I'm always fascinated by the darker things. And like that's why I was very happy to look this up and share it with you, because it is so dark, like so dark. But you're right. I mean, you're a father. So do you think there's value in having these tales to terrify
your kids? Probably not, let's be honest. There are easier ways than saying they're going to be chopped up. Someone's going to come around and chop you up. I think it's slightly extreme, isn't it? I mean, that's probably why this one in particular hasn't taken on such a prominent place in popular culture as Krampus has. Just because it is so dark. You can look at the outer appearance of something like Krampus and go, okay, that's just really scary as it is, whereas the backstory behind this is something else.
Also, I'm not sure like what the moral of the story is, given that justice wasn't really served, let's be honest. He got a job out of this.
<That's true>. He got a job.
He got employment with great employment security for like eternity.
Yeah, that is odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is really odd that Santa was like, okay, well, come on, mate, come and work with me. You're sorry, okay. I'd be like, if I was Santa, I'd be like, this is terrifying. He's gonna go back to my workshop, he's gonna chop up the elves.
Yeah.
Probably post them children the next year.
Don't hire him. Call the police.
Well, it is funny, isn't it? Because it's if it is a punishment, and some versions of the tale don't say it is a punishment, they say he repents instead. Then his punishment is, oh, you like to kill children? How about you whip children? you like hurting kids? I know what to do with you.
But that's the thing, isn't it?
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
That's got to be the worst cast job in history, isn't it? Oh, somebody chops up kids. Okay, come and work with children. It's like when you criminals come out of prison, they're like, oh, he's reformed. Let's go and make him work with children. It's like, well, it's possibly the worst people you can go work with.
Yeah. Although, to put a positive spin on this, of all the stories I know about St. Nicholas's companions worldwide. And again, I'm no expert. This seems to be the most religious one, right? Because on the one hand, the story is like a very strong demonstration of St. Nicholas, the miracle worker who resurrects children from the dead. Like, that's amazing.
Hmm. Is that a false god, false idol?
Oh, well, that's a complicated debate. But yeah, it's the most Christian one, I think. And then you combine that with the whole like, oh, I killed the boys, but I repent because you've proven your miraculousness. And he repents, and so he kind of gets rewarded with this job, like you say.
Yeah.
But a job that kind of, at the same time, isn't saying, kill kids and you'll be all right. It's saying, for eternity, you've got to be mean to kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find that interesting. You know, it's the most religious, or the most overtly That's Christian, true. I think, of all the...
Yeah, the symbolism is definitely there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like you say as well, yeah. I'd kind of overlooked the fact that he resurrects these kids because I was so shocked by it.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, that's a really good miracle, to be honest. That's, you know... Yeah.
And sometimes
top,
I forget.
Top tier. That's really great.
I do forget that Santa Claus is, you know, a Christian saint. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Ah, that is a... I don't know. There is a positive spin that you've come out with there, but I think in popular culture, when these things are mentioned, there's never that positive spin, is there? It's always if you're not good.
Yeah.
Like, what's his name? What's his name?
Le Père Fouettard, or Old Man Whipper, Father
Whipper. Old Man Whipper. Oh, yeah. If you're not careful, Old Man Whipper will be onto you.
Yeah. I mean, he's scary though. I mean, if you see pictures of him, he's got this little scourge, you know, like a cat of nine tails almost, with little. Hooks or something on the end.
God.
You know, so if he whips you, it's going to hurt. Mm. It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
No. Ooh, it's not nice. He is frightening. Mm. Which I guess exposes his real purpose, which is just to scare little kids. I wonder what medieval parents would think of today's parenting advice. You know, they get time travel to the 21st century and it's like, you got to be nice to your kids? What's this about? This is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure. Don't kill him and put him in stew, but, you know, corporal punishment. Come on.
Very true. I mean, nowadays all you have to do is say, I'm going to take away your PlayStation for a week and back in line.
Mm.
I don't know if that really works.
It's fine. I've got an Xbox. Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about the 21st century, Martin, would you like to share your news item?
Yeah. So this also involves kids and scariness.
Ooh. Okay.
So instead of being a Christmas themed, it's actually child themed. But okay, so my my headline is Nest camera. So you know the brand of camera Nest.
Oh yeah.
They're like they're basically like home CCTV. It tends to be. Mm. So they're hooked up to Wi-Fi, which means that you can record everything on like cloud based, and you can play it back.
Yeah.
So the issue with this is that it means that the cameras then can be hacked. Which is what happened in this particular case. So, the headline is, Nest camera hacker threatens to kidnap baby and spooks parents.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, this week, a mum in Texas, said that someone had hacked into her wireless camera system and that she uses to keep an eye on her infant son and threatened to kidnap the baby.
Wow.
Which is terrifying. So this is Ellen... I just read that as Eleanor Rigby, but it's Ellen Rigney. Was in bed with her husband on Sunday night. So this would be last Sunday in Houston, when she heard a noise coming from the Nest camera connected to her 4 months old son, Topper. Great. I mean, that you wouldn't get that name over here, would you?
Yeah.
Topper, his room.
I was in Hot Shots, Topper Harley.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway,
sorry.
It's all right. No worries. I haven't seen it. Worth watching?
Yeah. Grateful.
Okay.
Charlie Sheen, one of his best flicks.
His best,
is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to watch that. So at first she thought it was a carbon monoxide alert, but then she heard sexual expletives coming into the room. So they jumped out of bed and, of course, turned on the light and ran into the room. So they basically turned off their Nest camera, but they had another one on. And this one suddenly switched on, and a man's voice told them to turn the light off that they just turned on. So they're looking through their camera. They jump out of bed.
Oh my gosh, it's terrifying.
They turn off the Nest thing, jump out of bed, turn the light on, and the Nest camera turns back on again and says, turn your light off. So this is terrifying.
Yeah.
And then it says, I'm going to kidnap your baby and I'm in your baby's room.
No.
So imagine this as a parent.
Isn't
that terrifying?
That is not a cool prank, that's a prank. I hope it's a prank.
Le Pierre.
Yeah, exactly.
It was Father Whipper. Yeah.
So they ran into Topper's room, and he was, of course, fine.
And there's no one in there.
There was no one in the room.
Oh, you know, I check.
Yeah, you would check the closet, wouldn't you? Yeah. This sounds like the basis of a horror film, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
So the husband quickly realised, well, they both quickly realised, that someone's hacking it, and that they needed to shut down their Wi-Fi in order to make sure that this stopped happening. So they called the police and notified the camera company, Nest, but apparently they didn't help. So she's basically gone and thrown out these cameras and is making sure that in the future she doesn't use a camera that relies on Wi-Fi because that would be hacked. So any parents out there, prospective parents, just get a standard baby monitor. You don't need a Nest camera with Wi-Fi.
No.
Don't want that happening.
That's terrifying.
So yeah, it's just absolutely terrifying, really scary. Of course, it's unnerving, unsettling.
Yeah.
And she said that to have something that's supposed to make you feel better, and instead it makes you feel the opposite. So of course, baby cameras are meant to make you feel secure that your baby's okay. Yeah. And so this is if it was a prank, it's extremely misguided.
Yeah.
So they can't find out who actually was, of course. Mm. It's amazing to know that.
The thing is, if he can hack into a Nest camera, presumably he knows their IP address, which means he could find out where they actually live.
Yeah.
Mm. So even if it's a prank, it's kind of
the police should potentially be involved, not
a prank. You know, like
this should definitely be investigated.
Oh man.
It?
Yeah.
I've heard that this is actually becoming a real problem, though. That people can hack into it's kind of hack, but other people do it and then post them online of just unsecure cameras all across the world. And I think there are websites and stuff that you can go to where it's basically just a list of unsecured cameras and you just click on one and just see whatever from the inside of someone's bedroom, basically.
That's
just people's webcams and that kind of thing. And it's crazy, isn't it? So, but then who's kind of, it's one of those things where who's at fault here? Is it Nest, I guess, Nest, for not having a secure platform?
Well, they said that none of the breaches involved their camera. As in, they've said that it's basically not their fault. It was the problem with the unsecure
Wi-Fi.
Right.
And that the hackers need the IP address. But surely there has to be provisions put in place in order to stop this kind of thing from happening with the devices themselves.
I know. Maybe this is naive of me, but I would have always assumed that devices should be secure, not just the network.
Right? Well, Nest did come back and said that there is a two-step verification mode that wasn't enabled by the family. And so doing that would have added an extra layer of security, at least, so that they wouldn't be able to access it without the particular code or whatever that you get through to your mobile phone. But then again, if their phone was then connected to the Wi-Fi too, you'd expect that they could probably find out what that message and that code is anyway. So
it annoys me because there is a tendency, I think, and this includes banks, let alone private companies, providing a kind of minimal layer of security, like a two-step verification, just so they can say, look, we gave you a security measure, you didn't use it, or we provided this basic thing, so we're covered if something went wrong. Because people are having, there's a big problem in this country at least with one of our national banks of people with online banking through the mobile banking app. Scammers or fraudsters are getting into people's online banking accounts. And in theory, the banks say, oh, we're not liable for anything. We don't have to pay back your losses because, we haven't, we provided this basic level of security, which, you failed by not enabling it, or you failed by giving out personal information. But time and again, in lots of cases, lots of complaints being brought to the police, they're saying, well, actually, I had the basic security set up, but they hacked into my mobile or they hacked into my laptop and then were able to get a password or whatever. So my password wasn't secure, but it should have been secure.
Yeah.
It's just that if all they need is my password or whatever to get in, then it's not secure enough.
Mm. Yeah.
And I feel like this is another case of Nest is saying, hey, you've got two-step verification. You haven't enabled it. Not our problem. But like I say, even if they had enabled it, if the hackers could get into their house and all their devices, they could potentially have found it out anyway.
It seems like a little bit of an excuse. Yeah. And like, I remember, did we speak about this like on a previous episode? But the fact that even more frequently people have been hacking into like Alexa devices and stuff like that just by like calling through the letterbox and saying like, open the door.
Oh my god!
And things like this because they're connected to the door. Yeah, it's like insane. That. But then, if you have like one of those devices, surely like a smart home device, surely make it a little bit more secure than being able to.
But then again, like real world, as we get more of these devices, and you know, the Internet of Things becomes more of a thing, everything's kind of connected. Mm. You would never assume that like Nest. Oh, I need to put my two-step verification on. And usually with those kind of things, like you say, because it's mainly used as an excuse, it's in like 10 different layers of fold, like subsection menus before you get to the two-step verification.
I mean, you have a responsibility for it to be prompted. If they think it's a vital bit of security, it has to be prompted.
Yeah,
exactly. Doesn't make sense otherwise. But yeah, apparently, it seems like it's only going to get worse as well with the more smart devices we have. What if they can't hack into one thing, they hack into another?
But like that Amazon Alexa thing, if I had that, I would never assume that someone could do that anyway. Like, it just wouldn't cross my mind that someone could just call through the letterbox and tell it to open the door.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are definitely...
How do you defend against that kind of stuff?
There are definitely things that are being put in place to kind of help prevent this. Like, I know that a lot of the companies are working on voice recognition, so it recognizes your specific voice as opposed to just any voice. Now, the positives of this are, like in that particular case of people shouting through the letterbox, it would reject that voice command. But then one of the main benefits of having one of these devices, especially something like an Alexa, is that anyone can go, if you're at a party, anyone can go, oh, I want to put this song on. They can say, they can call to it. So it kind of narrows your options if it's specific to only your voice.
Yeah. I know there was that issue with when the Amazon Alexa adverts would play on TV.
Oh, yes.
They would actually just cause people's Alexas to start.
It might be like the BBC or some morning TV show where they were demonstrating it.
Yeah.
And they said, I'm not going to say it now. But they said something in particular and it caused like some transactions to go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. Let's get people's Alexas going if they're playing this out loud. What can we say?
Alexa, play You Sexy Thing.
Okay, I said no in the middle of that, should be all right.
Yeah,
okay.
Alexa, no. but actually, a question for our listeners. Have you experienced problems like this with your smart devices connected? Do you feel secure, especially after the stories we've just discussed? Please let us know by commenting on our Twitter or on our YouTube video.
Absolutely. I've also got one little point, because that was quite a short story. I looked on the BBC News website. As I often do, like daily, just have a swipe through. And one of them was an article about all the people that have been unfortunately killed in London this year by like basically murdered in London, which is pretty morbid. But what it did remind me of is a website that I went on at uni, which was, it's like a murder map of London.
Oh.
And it has all the points where people have been killed around London, but plotted on a map.
Wow.
Sounds dark, but it is the most fascinating thing.
Yeah, because you can detect patterns. And
also, you know, where we are in London, you could say, okay, what's happened around here? And it's like, okay, I walk past that every day. I walk past this. It's crazy. It's actually mad. And it has like the profile, the case files and all this kind of stuff. So any kind of murder aficionados out there, anyone that's interested in true crime, that's definitely one to have a look at.
Is it just London, or is it like
this one's London? I don't actually know who it's made by. We need to have a look, but I think this one's London. Maybe they have them in other cities, but it's they've used like the Google Maps and then just put like pins. Oh my goodness, there's hundreds and hundreds. And of course, it has like, all the different. You can filter it via type, so it can be like poisonings. So you can just look at poisonings
and of course, stabbings,
and all the rest of it. So
I mean, there's a lot of stabbings. I'd want to look on it, but also I'd be a bit scared that I'd look on it and be like, yep, 15 outside my house.
Well, that's it. I mean, like, I remember when I first looked at it, I was up in Sheffield in England, and one of my friends was down here living in London, and we were just having a look at it, and he was like, yep, that's up my road. This is at the end of the street. That's in the park opposite me. I really freaked him out. But anyway, I just thought I'd recommend that.
And my sister lived in South London, South River, in Vauxhall, years ago now, and she thought she lived on a lovely street. It was very nice, very quaint. Nice old houses, all freshly painted and all that stuff, very well maintained. And then one morning, there was a dead man outside her flat.
Wow.
Between the door, her door and the door of the next flat along.
Wow.
And he'd been stabbed, and he was just lying in a puddle of blood. And it turned out there were drug dealers next door. It was like a drug den.
Wow. They didn't move the body.
This guy's got
wow.
That's just lazy.
I think she lived there for another year, but she did. I think after that, she was like, I'm going to move.
Yeah,
and moved as soon as she could.
Good idea.
Horrendous.
But yeah.
I thought I'd just mention anyway.
Yeah,
it's
thank you. But that's actually fascinating. Yeah. I've got to look at that. I'd like to hear from our commenters, our viewers on YouTube. Alex, you have YouTube comments of the week?
Sure thing. Where are they? Oh, here they are. So I'm not sure what video this was on. I think this was on our last podcast. Mm. This comment comes from Ian Seals, who says, maybe make a vid on why the earth is flat. Let's have none of this NASA truther video anymore. Do the research, fellas. I know you'll realize the truth. NASA lies, government lies. Thank you. And then I will say as well, he actually replied to his own comment, just saying correct.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So what was his name again?
Ian Seals.
How could you forget Ian Seals?
I think he's passionate about the flat earth theory. That's what I'm getting from that.
I think increasing number of people are.
We've looked into it. We've made videos on it, as we've said before.
We have, and I think the case for flat earth was brought forward as well.
Yeah.
We always try to look at... Well, we always look at both sides of the tale. Admittedly, and I can see where he's coming from, in the space of a 7-minute video, we don't have the time to fully explore all the evidence for either side.
That's often the case, and people often sometimes write on other videos, why don't you speak about this and this and this and other points? And there's always more to talk about.
Yeah.
Just sometimes why people go, oh, haven't you done this video before? Yeah. And it's like, we have, actually, but we didn't mention these points.
Yeah, exactly. So if you think we're repeating ourselves, then sometimes rest assured, we're not entirely repeating ourselves. We always, I love revisiting old topics when new evidence has come up.
That's it.
But I do, and thank you, Ian, actually, because I comments like that, I love reading them, because people who are properly engaged with the topic, who know stuff, always point out new stuff for us to look into. And I really like that. It helps me a lot, but it helps us all in our work. But at the same time, please bear with us, because I don't know, let me know in the comments, but like, I would rather look at both sides of the argument in the same video than kind of get lost in the rabbit hole and make a 3-hour video looking at all the evidence for one side.
Hmm.
And because you could do it both ways, right? You could, and this is the problem with a lot of conspiracy theories, is that however much evidence there is for something, there's almost always more evidence against it. And that may be because the evidence against it is the official story. So I'm willing to believe that the evidence against it is fabricated, or, you know, there's loads of it because the government spams it out there to cover the truth.
Mm.
But at the same time, if we were to cover every single bit of evidence on either side of it in a devoted video, I bet you we'd end up making like a 10-hour video against Flat Earth and a 2-hour video in favor of Flat Earth. And then that might disappoint a lot of our viewers because they think we're biased. But I'm like, honestly, it's just because...
That's the material that's out there as opposed to what we believe or anyone believes is true.
But addressing the comment directly, like we've brought forward, like you said, we've brought forward the argument for Flat Earth before. We've talked about the Bedford level test, going blank, but the fact that NASA lies, fisheye lenses on I'm trying to think what else we brought up in that the conspiracy files we made on it.
Mm.
But I think we've brought forward a lot of the evidence for it.
I mean, 100%.
I think it's clear that we, you know, personally don't believe that the Earth is flat, but we try and like look into the case.
Yeah. I think we'll definitely revisit it, won't we? Because there is more to discuss.
Definitely, yeah. But, there's always more to discuss. Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe this is what he's responding to, we can't just cover the flat Earth all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
I mean, we could if you wanted. Let us know. But,
Very
good. Okay.
Another comment?
Yeah, please do.
So, this was on our last podcast with All Time Gaming.
Yeah, Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. And this is actually what this comment's referring to.
Oh.
So Wizard734 says, "You make a mockery of the true Alex Jones, the protector of amphibian heterosexuality and water filter salesman, and I will be disliking and unsubscribing."
I really enjoyed.
I assume that's tongue in cheek.
I assume it was a joke.
Yeah, I am sorry if you actually did dislike and unsubscribe, but I just thought it was really funny.
And also, sorry to all our viewers who genuinely thought for a moment that the real Alex Jones is on our podcast. We would love to have him on, but he refuses to come to England.
We couldn't resist the clickbait, could we?
We can't afford to go over there. We couldn't resist the clickbait.
When we had an actual Alex Jones, we had to say, featuring someone called Alex Jones.
The best Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Cool. One more?
Yeah, go for one more.
Let's have one more. So this was referring to the Denver airport conspiracy files.
That was a really good video. I enjoyed that one. Thanks, guys. I love the conspiracy.
Yeah.
So Jeffrey Herbert says, "Before getting on a flight, I don't want to see all this imagery. What the hell were they thinking? Something's very wrong here." And I think, yeah, that's exactly what we, our general opinion of it.
That's what we were thinking.
What were they thinking?
I did see
another comment that said, if you look at the background of the artist, there's a little bit more context to what he was creating at the time. Unfortunately, I did see that about 45 minutes ago, so I haven't had a chance to look into it, but I will do.
That is true, and sadly, I can't remember the actual artist who created the murals, but it was essentially like... The whole murals told a story of like them overcoming this evil war and achieving peace in the world basically.
I mean,
so it was a positive message
that requires context. If you're in an airport, you're flying by these things, aren't you? You're going, what the hell is that?
I'm trying to visit every single portrait.
Well, exactly, right. Like maybe that's not the most appropriate place to have that. And in fairness,
as an understanding,
clearly they thought the same because they took those murals down. I think
they did.
But there's still loads of freaky artwork around the place, like gargoyles jumping out of suitcases.
Still the red-eyed giant
Lucifer horse.
Lucifer horse. Yeah,
I mean, it's strange.
On the one hand, I'm thrilled that they did it because it's the most interesting airport in the world, right? But on the other hand, it's just weird. Mm. If it's not a conspiracy, if it's not some kind of weird symbolism, why on earth would you do that? All that stuff. Why in an airport?
Mm. I mean, it's a great marketing campaign, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about an airport.
What do they think they're going to go? They're going to have these. People are interested going in, having a look at the mural, going to duty free. I mean,
spending some money in duty free.
Maybe that's it. They see all these gargoyles, and it's like, I need a drink.
There we go.
Quick drink.
Case cracked.
Yeah. Just seeing the giant blue Mustang. Now I need to go to Denny's.
Right.
Well, Alex, you have a news item for us, don't you?
I do, yeah. And this one's a little bit less morbid than what we've been talking about because my Christmas spirit so far is totally destroyed. but it's not actually Christmas related. It's space related because I love science, sciencey kind of news stories. And this is asking the question, what chance has NASA does NASA have of finding life on Mars? I'm sure Ian would probably say 0% chance because, you know, NASA lies.
Yeah,
but, yeah. So
in which
this
case,
is
it's 100% chance, right? Because if it's a lie, then they're just, they're just going to say it.
So this is an interesting news article basically saying that the probe that NASA plans on launching in 2021, I want to say? 2021, it's going to touch down on the red planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that new probe is going to have... the aim of trying to identify past biology on the planet. So like ancient kind of biology, if life ever existed on Mars, basically. It'll be searching for clues in rocks that are perhaps 3.9 billion years old. And this news article basically says that if we try to do that here on Earth, try and find life and like detect how old life is, that's really, really difficult because of the atmosphere and the kind of chemical makeup of the Earth.
Yeah.
Kind of erosion over time and that kind of thing. However, on Mars, it should be a bit easier because the rocks would have been slightly more undisturbed, I guess. And there's less atmosphere to cause this kind of erosion. So, yeah, this is basically saying that in 2021, when this takes off, imagine like if we found that there was at one point life on Mars. What would that mean?
Do you think there was?
Well, I mean, as we know, there is life. There's an advanced civilization living on Mars.
Living in the canals.
Yeah. I've seen the pictures. Obama was teleported there to negotiate on behalf of the human race.
Obviously.
Yeah.
That's why he aged so fast.
Yeah.
Teleportation takes its toll, people.
How long does it take to get to Mars?
A few months, isn't it? Like
depends
six
on
months?
The. I think it depends on the launch window, but yeah, I think it's 6 months around that, or several months.
So does that mean that there was an imposter in the White House? Is that part of the theory? During the time he was away?
I don't know that.
I think this was before he was president.
Oh,
okay.
But yeah, there's that's a genuine conspiracy that someone made. That
I think we've mentioned it on the channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting one.
It's
a bit of a stretch.
And to go back to your original question about what would it mean if we did find, or if NASA found evidence of ancient life on Mars, it's one of those weird ones where it's kind of, obviously it's hugely significant because it means A, their methods for detecting it and identifying it work, and B, it proves conclusively that life can exist on other planets. Right.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's kind of like 20 years after the fact, your significant other saying, oh yeah, I bought you a really nice present for your birthday 20 years ago, but it's broken now. And you're like, well, you know,
and
thanks, I think. But
and theoretically, like you could get a nice present in the future somewhere.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So there's a bit of a shrug element to it. It's kind of like, well, good. Mm. There was life. Nice.
I imagine it would kind of shake up people's beliefs, though, I guess. A little bit. But then also, I think, because it doesn't exist anymore, you would just be taking NASA's word for it. So I think there would be a lot of conspiracy to it.
It's true.
A lot of doubt.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
NASA's just made this up. No, there definitely wasn't life on Mars. But I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they do find it, because I've personally always felt, since they've always been saying that there's traces of ancient waterways on Mars and the atmosphere used to be able to support life similar to ours, but just got eroded by the sun's rays. And I'm always like, yeah, it makes sense. There would have been some form of life, whether it's just amoeba or something, on Mars. So I hope they find it, because that kind of, you know, otherwise it would spoil all my fantasies about life on other planets.
Spoil my dream of living on Mars.
Do you reckon in our lifetime we will ever, like, get contact from aliens or come into contact with them?
Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson thinks that by the year 2050 we will have identified planets with life on them.
That'd be mad, wouldn't it?
But I mean, I think he means like, oh, we'll be able to see through a telescope and say, look, that planet has life, but they won't have ever kind of made contact with it.
Really. We'll be approaching the kind of War of the Worlds thing then, where we're the aliens watching like the other aliens. You'll just be watching them go about their day.
Yeah.
I'd take slight issue though with your question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Fact, will we?
We have. We
have already. Quite
that's
possibly.
True. That's true.
True, yeah.
So will it become
an
open...
Yeah.
What's the word? It's not an open secret. That's not quite right, is it? Will it become
disclosed?
Publicly...
Disclosed. That's
right. Yeah. Disclosed. Yeah, that's right. Disclosed.
Yeah.
Will it become? Yeah. General.
I mean, that would be even more shocking to the world. I think that we have been in contact with them and for quite some time.
Although maybe that wouldn't be admitted. Maybe the government thinks that then it's the right time to announce that we now are, as opposed to retrospectively, because then. Yeah. Then that proves that, you know, we've been lied to all this time.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how I'd feel about that, because I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they were to announce, actually, the US government and NASA have been in contact with aliens or had proof of aliens for, you know, like 30 years, and they just haven't told anyone. And that would be annoying, but at the same time, if they said it, I would believe them if they said, yeah, we didn't tell anyone because, you know, we couldn't do anything about it and we didn't want to just like make people annoyed about, you know, the fact that we've met aliens but still haven't fixed all our own problems yet. So I'd be like, yeah, I can kind of understand that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. On the other hand, we've mentioned this before, I think, in the Conspiracy Files.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the American government hasn't made contact with alien life, because if they had, Trump would definitely have told us.
That's true.
Yeah,
that man does not keep secrets. Yeah,
it's true.
Or just something even like hardly vague at all. Just like, oh man, you would not believe what they've got at Area 51. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's out of this world.
You do make a good point though. Like, how much is he told? Because it seems like he cannot keep secrets.
Yeah.
So do you think that the military keep? I mean, I'm sure that the military keep certain details from any president.
Mm. Yes.
But how much
a
is being kept?
Basis,
is more being kept specifically from him because, you know, he doesn't really have. He has pretty much a disregard. Seems to have a disregard for keeping secrets.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is where the Space Force has come from. Maybe that's why he's decided to make that.
He knows the aliens are out there.
Yeah,
and he's worried they're all. That's a good point.
Maybe.
Good point. I mean, obviously, if you believe the deep state is operating against Trump, then there's your reason that he doesn't know about this stuff and hasn't shared the secret because they're preventing him from knowing. Or if you've watched Independence Day, you know, plausible deniability. They don't tell the president because he's only going to be there for 4 years. You know,
that's true.
Or 8 years, yeah.
Mm.
Good point.
Or maybe Trump just watched Independence Day and that's where the Space Force came from.
Oh my God, they're going to invade.
No.
time for a quiz.
Yeah. I think it's about time, yeah. Okay, guys, welcome to the Christmas Quiz 2018 edition. Let's hear your buzzers.
Merry Christmas.
Excellent.
Whoops, I was interrupted by my own buzzer there.
Very jovial.
What is that,
Martin?
Some kind of bird. I'm not actually sure what. Do you have any idea what a bird that is?
That's a bird?
What was the inspiration
like
behind
a woman
that choice?
Choking.
I thought it was a seal.
That was a seagull.
It's a weird seagull. That would do.
Okay.
I like it.
So Martin's got a seagull.
And
Robin's
got
a ho ho ho.
And it's quite a seagull.
Merry Christmas. Quite
very Christmassy. Very festive, yeah.
Okay, so as always, we're going to do 10 questions, and there's a bonus question as well. And the questions, like we said, are Christmas-themed and also 2018-themed. Someone talking about some of the most notable events from this year.
For the record, I have a terrible memory, so...
Yes, I do too.
Okay, let's get into it. Question one.
Okay. Yeah.
Which Christmas word means turning of the sun?
Merry Christmas.
Robin.
Solstice?
No.
Darn.
Turning.
Good
of
guess,
the sun.
Though.
Oh. Mm. Christmas word. Christmas
I don't word. Even know how to give you a clue for this one. Martin, any guess?
Turning of the sun. I don't know anything. Afraid not.
Yeah, we're talking about the sun in the sky, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Turning off the sun.
Hmm.
Starts with Y.
Oh.
Oh.
Merry Christmas.
You go first.
I'm going to let Martin have that one. Just,
That's fine.
Yuletide?
It is correct, yeah. So apparently,
that's what that means.
Yule means wheel in Old Norse mythology, apparently, originally.
Interesting.
I haven't fact checked that.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
Sounds right.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Sounds pretty convincing.
That's really interesting. although I like that. It's kind of like the connotation is turning of the sun. Because Yuletide is like wheel time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's really interesting.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad. Question
glad
two.
You liked it.
Glad you liked it. Okay, so this might be a fingers on buzzers.
Ooh.
What kind of Christmas does Elvis Presley sing about?
That's right, Robin. Yours didn't work. It's fine.
That's fine. You know, you go for it. You got there.
You chose the wrong buzzer, Robin.
I did choose the wrong buzzer.
Okay, Martin.
Blue.
It's Christmas. A blue Christmas.
Darn it.
That is correct.
2-0
to
him.
2-0 to Martin. Oh. Okay. Don't know if you guys are fans of the Eurovision Song Contest, but who won this contest in 2018? Martin?
Was it Israel?
It was Israel.
Was it really?
That's correct, yeah.
I was going to say Israel, but I thought, nah, they always win it.
No, it was.
Are they pretty new to it?
I thought they were pretty new to it, but at least the last,
they, I know Australia
have,
are quite
I think
new,
they have
Australia
one,
very
which is
new.
Bizarre.
They're the newest, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Australia's in it.
Israel have won it twice before, haven't they? Maybe, I don't know.
Was it Hungary the year before? Hungary?
Hungary did win it.
It's pretty recent, isn't it?
Was it Hungary? I thought Ukraine won it, and then Portugal also.
Oh, yeah, Ukraine. Maybe that was the year before that, because that was after the crisis, right?
Yeah, after the Russia thing, incident.
So Martin's wiping the floor with me, 3-0.
3-0.
Although, in my defense, my buzzer did break on the second question.
True.
So.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
You might get this one, though, Robin.
All right.
Okay, question 4. On the 6th day of Christmas, what did my true love send to me? Oh, Martin.
Calling birds.
That is incorrect.
It's 4 calling birds, isn't it?
I got it.
Now he's remembered it. So now I've got to get it because he's going to get it again. This is annoying because I sang it last week in a carol service.
My true love sent to me. I'll give you a clue. It is a bird. A type of bird.
Yeah.
6 geese alone.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But you didn't buzz in, so I'm going to give it. No, that's
correct.
7
swans are swimming too.
7 swans are swimming.
Yeah. Oh, see, I got confused. And my mind, because I have a terrible memory, even though I sang this song last week, I was like, there's something about swimmers swimming. I was like, what? what's that about? It's swans swimming.
There's a lot of birds in there, isn't there?
There's a lot of birds, isn't it? Partridge and a pear tree.
Laying, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge and a pear tree.
Birds. But then after the 5 gold rings, or rather after the swans are swimming, it becomes people,
there's
doesn't it?
There's 10 drummers drumming, is that right?
Or 9 ladies dancing.
9
lords are leaping.
8 maids are milking.
11 lords are leaping.
11 lords leaping.
12 pipers piping? No.
They're all there.
There's a piper's piping. Yeah. I think maybe the 12 was the drummers, actually.
Who knows? Anyway. Well, anyone who knows the song, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
My buzz is gone. One sec. Oh, it's back. It's back. All good.
Okay.
So it's 3-1 to Martin?
Yep.
Okay. Question 5. We all know the nostalgic Coca-Cola truck Christmas advert. Mm. You remember that? But can you tell me what year it first appeared on our screens?
Oh, darn.
Blimey.
I'm going to go with closest wins here.
Okay.
Robin.
Merry Christmas.
Is this the specific advert with the truck?
Yeah, you know the
Holiday Christmas coming.
Holiday days are coming.
Yeah, that's
the one. Yeah.
Because they haven't remade it. Anyway, point is...
I think they have remade it now. Because I've seen it on TV and they've remade it. But this is the original one.
Gonna say 1998.
I was gonna go for much earlier. I was gonna go for 1978.
Okay. Robin has won.
Yes.
It was 1995.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very close. Very close.
Ho, 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 ho.
Okay. Some 2018 trivia for you. So it's the scores are 3-2, correct?
Yes.
So you're catching up, Robin. Question 6. This year, what company became the world's first public company to achieve a market capitalization of $1 trillion? Martin.
Was it Alphabet?
It was not. It was not Alphabet.
Huh.
I don't know if another company's already achieved this very shortly afterwards, but this was the first one that was valued at $1 trillion.
$1 trillion.
It's a very big company.
I mean...
Robin?
That is a long buzzer. Apple?
It is Apple.
It'd be one of the two.
Yeah. That's correct. So we're level pegging now. It's 3-3 all.
Very good. Good comeback.
Okay. Question 7.
Ooh.
This one, I'm unsure if this is going to be a really easy question or if this is going to be a super difficult one, but I didn't know it. Australia has had some staff turnover this year in the Prime Minister's office.
Oh, yeah.
But can you tell me who their new Prime Minister actually is?
That's...
And I'll say as well, he's their 7th Prime Minister in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was so turbulent over there.
Yeah. You think our politics are turbulent, but...
I'm probably mixing my politicians, but Malcolm Turnbull was in Australia, right?
That's true.
But he's not the current one.
He was the last one. He was who the this guy replaced.
One. Yeah. Yeah. Ah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I should know. But I don't.
No, but like, yeah, I mean, I really did not know this one before before looking it up.
Go for it, tell us.
It's Scott Morrison.
A bit of a dubstep or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Very good.
Robin, get your buzzer under control.
That's what happens every time you say his name.
But yeah, he replaced Malcolm Turnbull as Prime Minister.
Right.
And to be honest, I think the attitude over there was like, should we even bother remembering his name? Because he'll probably be replaced next week as well.
Yeah, I admire that. I mean, long may he reign if he's a good Prime Minister, but I like that. Get rid of the useless ones. We have a problem over here, and I imagine America does too, of them sticking around.
But then it's like, has their politics just descended to kind of backstabbing until just loads of people climbing over each other to get into the
You want some stability so they can actually do stuff.
Yeah. No stability there. Yeah, it seems like football managers almost, doesn't it, now?
Yeah. Okay, question 8.
Oh.
So neither of you got the point for that one, so it's 3 each. Three all. So this...
Sorry. Accidental.
Christmas?
So this year also saw the historic meeting of a president of the United States and leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. However, Donald Trump appeared to cause offense to the leader during a photo shoot when he said what to the cameras.
Oh, God.
This was hilarious. If you
what
haven't seen this
say?
Video,
what did he say?
This was amazing.
This happening, yes. But I can't remember what he said.
I would really recommend everyone watching this video after this, because this is a great 2018 moment.
Because I remember Kim's reaction, because he doesn't speak great English.
Yeah.
But
once the translators translated it for him.
I can't remember.
I'll take a general.
Didn't he say something about him being shorter than short or fat? It was something to do with that.
Go
ahead,
Martin. If you want to guess, I'll say the closest wins to it because you don't have to get it spot on.
I thought what it was about him being fat. It was like saying that he was fatter than him.
Yeah.
Or
not as fat as people say, or something like that, wasn't it? And Kim had never.
You're so kind of nearly there, but I don't think either of you should get the point, to be honest.
Right.
But he said he was talking to the cameras and he's like, "Get us in shot, make us look nice and handsome and thin."
That was it. That was it. Yeah.
And then the camera did a kind of real like Curb Your Enthusiasm moment and just panned across to Kim Jong-un's face, and his whole face just kind of dropped. It was hilarious.
He's never been told he doesn't look great before.
Yeah, that was great. So it's still 3-3. This again might be fingers on buzzers. Question 9. Can you tell me what the highest grossing film of 2018 was? I'm going to Martin.
Was it the Avengers?
Full title?
Wow, I'm surprised. Wow. I can't remember this.
Avengers.
If you can't get this, I'm not going to give you the point.
Avengers 3.
Technically, but...
I can't remember what it's called. Homecoming.
No, that's Spider-Man.
That was Avengers Infinity War.
That is correct, Robin.
Yeah. Worldwide, in America, I believe it's still Black Panther.
Maybe in America, but not. Black Panther was second, but Infinity War has grossed more.
Oh, that's what I mean. Like, worldwide, it's Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
But in America.
Oh, right, yeah.
American, Canada, domestic gross, it's Black Panther.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah.
That's almost a feather in my cap not getting that.
Yeah, well, you've shown you're a nerd. You're a nerd, Robin.
I'm such a nerd. Or DC. I don't.
But I do believe that you've taken the lead, though. It's now 4-3 to Robin.
I've only got one question.
Fully deserve that, but yeah, whatever.
I've only got one. Oh, you would have got it though, anyway.
Question 10.
Oof.
Oh.
Where was it always winter but never Christmas?
Oh.
Martin.
Narnia.
It was Narnia. Yes.
Yes.
Because the Ice Witch. Queen.
Ice Queen.
Which had, cursed it.
Snow Queen?
Snow Queen.
Yeah.
There you go.
Whatever her name is. Good knowledge.
For all. And that's all the questions. Oh. So we've got to have the bonus question. This is a good one. This is like really, really tense. Okay. Nice. So I'm trying to work out how to do this question. Right. I think whoever gives me the most will get the point.
Okay? Most of what, Alex?
Well, I want all of the names of the original reindeer. Robin.
Slow finish. Dasher and Prancer and Donner and Blitzen and Comet and Cupid. I've mixed them up now. And
Rudolph.
There's the rhyme.
How many have you got?
Six, I think.
Dasher, okay, you got
Dancer,
six.
Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, so I think you've got
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer?
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer.
Comet, Cupid.
Donner Blitzen.
And I think I've drawn a blank.
You've got one more.
One more.
It rhymes with them. It kind of rhymes with Blixen.
Vixen.
Yeah.
Boom. Well, actually.
So well, I think Robin just got that.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you know all of
them?
I didn't know all of them. I would have got Prancer, Dancer, and
Rudolph.
You got Rudolph.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Very good.
But Rudolph wasn't actually one of the original. He was introduced in the 20th century.
Yeah, in that song? In the song, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
And now he's just... The others must be fuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You come in here with your red nose.
That's all he's got. It's just a novelty.
Taking our jobs.
Come in here, taking our jobs. Santa doesn't like us anymore. Feeds us gruel. Bastard.
Feeds us stew, possibly with children in.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My pal Le Père Furetard made you the stew, guys. Where's Donna gone? Well, that was a great quiz. Thank
very
you, Martin.
Good. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And
fantastic.
Thank you, Alex. That was excellent.
You're welcome.
Question. I won't shake your hand.
That's okay.
I don't want to.
Oh well. Merry Christmas, guys. I'm glad you enjoyed the quiz. Well done, Robin, for winning.
Merry Christmas to you too,
and one and all to the audience.
Yeah. I think we have. Quick time. I'm curious, like, what's everyone's Christmas plan? Spending time with family? Going home?
Yeah, just usual. Family. Spending time with family.
Really. You know what I have actually been looking up this week?
Yeah.
On Final Point, is the difference in Christmas meals, specifically between the UK and the US.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
But because over here, like, what are you guys having? Because we often have turkey for Christmas.
Yeah.
But actually in the US, that's not as common as it is over here. Like, pretty much everyone has, has turkey over here, whereas...
Well, it's one of those weird things, isn't it? Because we got the turkey Christmas dinner from their Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah.
But traditionally we do goose, don't we? Duck or goose.
And actually boar in England, traditionally. Boar. Like, going way back when.
That sounds amazing, actually.
And it was Henry VIII, I think, who brought turkey like, to the table.
A boar would make things a bit different, wouldn't it? That would be interesting.
Yeah. I'd have a big old family for that.
Yeah. I think we're having chicken. Because no one in my family likes turkey that much.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't
Turkey's never the favourite, is it?
It's a bit dry. Really.
There's the episode of The Royal Family where my friend sees this British sitcom. It's amazing. She goes, did you like the turkey? And they go, oh, no, a bit dry for me. Do you like the turkey? No, not so sure. Ask around the family. No one likes it. And he goes, oh, I won't bother next year. What?
Shock. Yeah.
That's
exactly
it. I think that's how most people kind of feel.
Yeah. So what's your favourite part of the Christmas dinner, would you say?
The roasts, probably.
Roast potatoes, because actually in the US it's usually mash, isn't it? Not roast potatoes.
No, they have mash?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. See, people don't know
this.
Terrible. I think some people do have roast potatoes.
Yeah.
But I think on the whole it's mash. I think I'm right in thinking that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's probably slightly inappropriate, but I also, if I can, I'll stick in Yorkshire puddings. You know, Yorkshire puddings and roast. To be honest, you can have those all year round with a roast dinner in this country, but that's my main reason for eating roast dinners.
And a lot of people say pigs... I know you're a veggie, Robin, but a lot of people say pigs in blankets are there, which is, for anyone who doesn't know, sausage wrapped in bacon.
Mm. I would probably put that up there on top of my list,
I actually really like bread sauce. I know that's rogue. I like bread sauce.
Yeah, a lot of people like bread sauce, yeah. But we're making it this year. My sisters love it.
I made some last year. Bit of nutmeg. Mm. It's good.
Oh, nutmeg.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Nice addition.
Might try that, yeah.
But family. Chilled.
Also, again, going to horrify some people, don't like Christmas pudding.
Who does? I think everyone's
another
just pretending.
Another thing that isn't in the US. Another thing that isn't in the US. What do they have for pudding? Nor mince pies.
Mm. They don't have mince pies.
I don't think so. This may be lies and slander on the US people, but tell me what. Yeah, let me know what you have in the comments, or you can even email us if you want. But that's a bit sad. Email us your Christmas
No, it's not. Share your Christmas plans with us and what your perfect Christmas would be. I'd like to know. Yeah. Martin may not, but I would. So as always, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for watching. If you're watching us on YouTube, please do check out our YouTube channel, and please tell us your thoughts and share your preferences, and let us know what topics you'd like us to cover via our Twitter or in our YouTube comments or via Instagram or even via Facebook. We're all over the place.
We are. Yeah, iTunes, Spotify, etc. If you have time to leave a review on iTunes, that's greatly appreciated. Yep. It does help us out.
Give us a review on iTunes or Google Podcasts. I don't know if you can review on Spotify, but please do listen to Spotify. So. Mm. And you can also find us on Audioboom. We'll put links in the description on YouTube if you're watching us. Thanks for listening again, and have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Noel.